us this morning. Been thankful for the Lord. And you got a word, now you help yourself. Wants to keep in mind revival. Revival is the meeting's over, but I don't want our mind to get too far, nor our heart to get too far from what the Lord has done for us and what He's going to do yet. And we're waiting on Him to do more. And I want us to just keep enjoying the Lord. All right? Everybody all right? We got a few thoughts for you this morning. I need you to listen very carefully. And this is I don't know, it'd be a normal Sunday morning message, I reckon. I don't know if there is such a thing. My biggest concern is that you know Christ. That's my biggest concern. That's the biggest concern the Lord has, is that you know Him. And I do not know your heart. I don't know your mind. I don't know. I can only know what you tell me. And there is a way we can know whether or not we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. Now, a lot of times, and we're not scolding you or nothing, but so just listen to me. If you wonder why we preach salvation on Sunday morning, it's because normally there's more unsaved come on Sunday morning. All right? And if you would like to hear more, you need to come on Sunday night or Wednesday. And that's not, we're not being casting a slur on nobody. We just want you to know, if you come on Sunday morning, you're probably going to hear a salvation message. Okay? And if you want to hear more, you're going to have to come more. That's what I'm trying to encourage you to do. Okay? Does everybody understand that? But I'm glad you're here this morning. All right? Well, let's pray together. And we're going to look at several scriptures this morning. Not nothing to confuse you, but to assure you this morning would be the best way. I'm glad for Jolly that's come by the house Thursday. She got saved there. Didn't have to say much to her. I like it like it. She done all the talking, and after she got done, I said, "Well, what say you?" She said, "I need saved." I said, "Well, you don't want to say it." So, and that's how it is. See, when the Lord deals with you, know whether or not you're truly saved. You know. And if you don't know, if you're having trouble, then maybe this morning will help you. But what you can't do or what you shouldn't do is act like it and not be saved. You need the Lord. So they sung in Sunday school, "Is That Wedding Music I Hear?" After Brother Rick taught us in Sunday school. And I love the account of Isaac and the servant getting him a wife, and Rebecca and all of that. I just sat and I soaked it up because that was me. I said, "Yes, I'll go. And I'm going to a land that I've never been to, but I'm excited to get there." And all these years, coming into this month, well, the 27th will make 52 years I've been on this way. And I've been hearing about it and learning about it and knowing about it. And I can't wait to get there. Never been there, but it's home. And I've never met Jesus face to face. And I wonder, Rick, there's so much you could have taught. You could have just kept on teaching and teaching in that. When Isaac was out in the field and he saw the camels are coming, he come part way. Can I tell you, he's going to come part way in the sky, and I'm going to meet him. But I don't think I'm going to have to ask the servant who he is. I think when I see him, I'm going to say, "Yeah, that's him. He lives in my heart. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad this thing is real. It's real. It's not a story. It's not a story. Man, it's truth. It's truth. And I believe the truth." Huh? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I know the truth this morning. I know Him. And I'm glad. All right, let's pray together. Father, we come just now as a church family calling on you. And I come, Lord, as your child, knowing I can do nothing without you. Lord, I need your touch this morning. I need wisdom. I need power from above. I need you to anoint me fresh of the Holy Spirit. And then, oh God, I need you to move and speak and draw upon men, women, boys, and girls in the church today. Lord, downstairs they're preaching to the kids. And Lord, I pray that you might stir them, draw them to a place of repentance, those that's not saved. Lord, that they'd be saved today. And then here in this sanctuary, Father, I pray that you might speak to every heart. And Lord, that everyone will examine themselves. And Lord, that we can make sure today that people are saved and they know it for sure. For those listening on live stream, God, I pray that you might stir in their hearts, though they be not here, that they can fall down wherever they're at and call on you to save them this morning. For those that will listen later on the website, there will be hundreds that will listen. Oh God, I pray that you stir their heart that they might see their need of a Savior. Now, Lord, we love you. We don't love you like we should. We need to love you more. Lord, we don't thank you enough. You're worth more than anything we can say. But we sure do love you and appreciate you and ask you now to help us. I'm asking, please, oh God, move in my heart, I pray this morning, in Jesus' name, and amen. The greatest need that anyone has today is that they be saved. Now, I know there's many that say they are saved, and that's wonderful. I'm glad you can say that, and I hope that is true. You and the Lord will know that for sure. There are ways that we can know that we're saved. But I want to make a couple of things clear this morning. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. We'll get to the text in just a moment. But I want to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, start in verse 8. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Now think about that. For by grace are ye saved. And that's God giving us what none of us deserve. And it's through faith. We just got to believe God. Amen. We're going to have to believe God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to make clear this morning that we're saved by grace through faith, that it's not works. You're not saved by works. You're not saved by what you do, but you're saved because you trust what has been done. Does everybody understand that? That's about as simple as I can make it. We are not saved by what we do. We're saved by trusting what's been done for us. And that is that Christ died for us and that he offers us salvation through him. Now, that's just simple. In Titus chapter 3, in the book of Titus chapter 3, I want you to listen just again. Titus chapter 3. It says, well, let's start at verse 3. It says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." I just want to make sure you understand that we were a sight, but the love of God appeared. And I'm glad that he appeared. He died for us on Calvary, and he saves us by the washing of regeneration. He borns us anew. I'm glad it's not me that saved myself. It is God that saved me. And that's the only way you get saved is what the Lord does. That's the only way you'll get saved. Now, you say, well, I am saved. Well, we'll find out here in just a little bit. And I'm going to give you a simple title, You Tell Me. That's the title this morning, You Tell Me. You tell me whether or not you're saved. Now, we're not going to look at your opinion. We're not going to look at what you think. We're not going to look at what Papa and Mama told you. We're not going to look at what Aunt Sally and Uncle Joe told you. We're not going to look at that. We're not going to look at what your husband and wife told you. We're going to see what the Bible says. We'll see what the Bible says. And if you can say after we read what the Bible says, you say, yeah, I'm saved and wonderful. You tell me. You tell me. But if you ain't, if you find out that you ain't, then we invite you to come to Christ today. Then you can tell me. Right? Well, all in all, it's going to have to be you that tells me, because I can't tell you. Now, Jolly asked me a lot of questions there Thursday, and I said, I can't tell you if you're saved or not. You tell me. You tell me. And that's been on my mind ever since Thursday. You tell me. So we'll just see this morning about you telling me. Does everybody understand that all right? Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And we'll look at verse 5. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Now, it says here to examine yourself. You tell me. You tell me, are you saved? You tell me. You say, well, I prayed a prayer. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I walked an aisle. I shook hands with a preacher. Well, I can't find none of that in the scripture where you're supposed to shake hands with the preacher. Can't find nothing in the Bible where he says you pray to be saved. All right. I find nothing in the scripture where you got to work to get saved. We've done said that. You say, well, I was baptized. I look back there and not to embarrass him because he testified it himself. But Frank Johnson sat back there. He said he was looking at his life and he found his baptizing picture. If you remember him testifying, he said, I seen that picture, and all I have was a picture. Didn't have nothing else but a picture. And he said, I decided that I needed saved, because that picture wasn't doing me no good. And can I tell you, it don't matter whether or not you've been baptized 100 times. That has nothing to do with being saved. Not a thing. All right? Julie, Jolly, I call her. I've never called her Julie, maybe just by accident. But she sung in church, raised in church, went to church, been to church here. But that don't save you by participating in church. Participating don't save you. You say, well, how does people do that? Well, I reckon sometimes we've convinced ourselves that everything's okay. See, sometimes people believe things that's just not true. I heard a preacher say one time, and he was telling this account, he said a psychiatrist was there in his office, and the receptionist came in and said, doctor, said there's someone out here to see you. He says, okay. He said, but there's a problem. They think they're invisible. And the doctor said, well, tell them I can't see them. Okay. That fella thought he was invisible, but it didn't matter. He what? Everybody understand? This told you say you're something don't mean y'all. Huh? Think about that. So we need to examine ourselves and see whether or not we'd be in the faith. Are you? Let me ask you, are you saved?
Yes.
Now, don't answer me out loud, but why are you saved? What did you do? When did it happen? Where did it happen? What exactly is making you say that you're saved? You tell me. When I was a kid. Well, when you was a kid, what? Well, mommy prayed for me. Well, my mommy prayed for me till the day she died. You tell me. Let a man examine himself and see whether or not he be in the faith. How about 1 Peter chapter 3? Everybody still with me? 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3 verse 15 says this, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." What is your answer? You tell me. You tell me. It says, be ready to give an answer. What's your answer today? You tell me. You tell me. You tell me. Think about it. Are we still okay? 1 John is where we're going to preach from this morning. 1 John. Give you a few thoughts here this morning, and we'll take a CAT scan. We'll examine ourselves here this morning. Alright? And see whether or not we be in the faith. That we might know how we can answer every man that asketh us of the hope that lies within us, of the reason that lies within us. See, we're already thinking because it's very quiet in here. But yet, I am not ashamed to stand and tell you that I'm saved this morning, and I know that I'm saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know that. And it's not because that I've done anything special. It's not because I am something special. But it's because I have truly placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on Calvary, and then He done a work in me that I have evidence. That I have evidence that He saved me. See, there should be some evidence. Alright? Now, we're not saved by works. I want everybody to make sure everybody understands that. We're not saved by works. But there will be evidence. There will be evidence that we are saved. There will be. That's what the Bible said. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we'll start here at verse 11. We can start anywhere. We just got to pick a place here. It all goes together. It's all great and all good. 1 John, chapter 5, verse 11. It says this, "And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." There in the middle it says that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. You tell me. Do you know? You tell me. Do you know? Do you know for sure? You tell me. Huh? See, I can't tell you. Now, the Bible will tell you, but I can't tell you. All right? You tell me. Now, when I look in 1 John, I know there's a lot of different thoughts on 1 John. I know it speaks a lot about fellowship and speaks a lot about that. But there's some things that we're going to look at that it talks about why we are able to have fellowship with the Lord. And can I tell you, you can't have fellowship with the Lord if you don't know Him. You can't have fellowship with Him. You got to know the Lord. If I'm going to read in the first chapter of 1 John, then I'm going to find out that He produces joy. Did you know that's a good thing about being saved? That He produces joy? Yeah. You know that? You know how I know that? 1 John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And these things." Well, wait a minute. I just read something about these things. Can I go back in a moment? In 1 John 5, verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal." These things. Can I look at a couple of these things right quick this morning? We okay? It says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." I'm glad that there's joy that comes with being saved. I'm glad there is. See, joy ain't happiness. Joy's joy. You know, a lot of times I ain't very happy, but I've got joy. You know, and that's some of them things that's written. You know, how about chapter 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you." There's more than these things. You know, I like these things. And chapter 1 will tell me that He produces joy. And then chapter 2 is going to tell me that He'll prevent me from sin. Yeah. I'm glad for the power of God that works in my heart and works in my life and has given me a propitiation for my sin. And when He don't want me to ever do wrong, but when I do wrong, He's there to help me and forgive me. I'm glad I got that. Yeah. Huh? Ain't you? Huh? Think about that. But what I want to think about this morning is, you tell me. You tell me. All right, there's a lot of things written, but I need you to tell me. All right, about being saved. It's not in a prayer. It's not in a quote. I've seen people lead people. They thought they led people to the Lord, and the one that was doing all the talking is the one that was saying all the words, and the one that was supposed to get saved didn't do nothing. You know, they never talked to the Lord. They never repented of the Lord. They didn't even know what they were saying. And then they just patted on the back and said, "Well, you're saved now." And they look at you like a calf looking at a new gate, and they don't understand. And then they go away, and you never see them again. That's the salvation of the majority of the churches anymore. Yeah. Right? I'm glad that Jolly got saved there Thursday. And I'm going to use her for an example this morning. I hadn't planned on it, but since she didn't testify, I'm not going to embarrass her. That she couldn't wait to get down to her mommy's house. But she knelt down there between me and Cheryl at that glider swing and called on God. I didn't say nothing. I said, "You got to do it. Ain't up to me." Well, when she got done, she didn't ask me if she got saved. No. No, she knowed it. So you tell me. You tell me. You tell me. See, there's some things we need to look at about being saved. Now, listen, I want to make sure everybody understands. I don't want to confuse nobody this morning. I want to make sure you understand that you're not saved by works. You're not saved by works. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's through faith. You've got to believe on the Lord. But when He saves you, He moves in. Immediately when He saves you. And the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, He tells us, therefore any man in Christ. Now let's read it exactly right. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says, not as a question, but as a fact. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, that's a big word, right? This is the fact. That's what therefore is. This is a fact right here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's some evidence of salvation. You tell me whether or not you have the evidence of salvation. All right? Let's look in 1 John chapter 2. That's where we're going to go to. 1 John chapter 2. All right? And we're going to start at verse 3. All right? Everybody still with me? It's on the board. Fine. You got your Bibles. I'd like for you to look in your Bibles. But if you don't have your Bible with you, look on the wall there. It'll be there. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 says a very interesting thing, verse 3 and 4. It says, and hereby we do know. Well, that's interesting, ain't it?
Yes.
See, 1 John 5, 11, 12, 13, we read them while, that you may know that you have eternal life. Ain't that where we took our text, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Everybody follow me?
Yeah.
Verse 3 says, and hereby we do know. We do know that we know Him. We know that we know Him. All right? Does everybody understand that? We know that we know Him. We don't think that we know Him. We know that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. Now that's just what it says. That's what the Bible says. All
right?
He that saith, you know, you tell me. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar.
Yeah. Wow.
And the truth is not in him.
Right.
Okay? But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. Now, I'm not trying to belittle nobody, not try to make anything complicated, don't try to confuse nobody, not try to make you doubt. But I can't read that no other way than it's written. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now, I'm not keeping His commandments to know Him, but because I know Him, I'm keeping His commandments. I'm not keeping His commandments to know Him, for that would be works. And I'm not saved by works, I'm saved by grace. But because I know Him, I'm keeping His commandments. Because I know Him, let me simplify it, I'm obedient. That I love the things that He loves, and that I'm willingly following Him. That I'm keeping His commandments. Do you obey Him this morning? Do you obey? Do you have an obedient attitude to the Lord? You tell me. Because the Bible says, and hereby we do know that we know Him. We know that we know Him. I love that. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now, it don't say if we keep His commandments, then I will know Him. That ain't what it says. It says, we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. It's proof. Let a man examine himself to see whether or not being in faith, let him prove himself. Know what the Scripture says? You tell me this morning. You say, you have an obedient attitude. You have an obedient, you know, it's not just that we do what He says, but that we delight to do what He says, the Scripture says. That we ought to delight to do His will. Do you delight in the things of God? Do you obey Him with the Bible? Do you obey Him with church attendance? Do you obey Him with giving? All the things that He says for us to do, do you willingly do that? Is that a result of what has saved you? Is that simple enough? Talk to me if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not making you doubt. I'm not questioning nothing. I'm just simply telling you what the Bible said. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He saith, he that saith. You tell me. He that saith, I know him. All right, you know him. Do you have an obedient attitude? Do you have an obedient attitude with the word of God? Now, I didn't ask you if you was perfect. I didn't ask you if you tried and made mistakes. I asked you if you had an obedient attitude. Do you? See, that word keep don't necessarily mean you're doing it. It means that you keep it precious. There's different meanings to words. That you keep something precious, you keep something close to you because it is precious. Do you? Do you take the Word of God as it's precious? Do you believe it like that? I'm just asking. Do you have evidence? Do you have evidence that you're a Christian? How about verse 6? He that saith. There's another he that saith. He that saith, you tell me. That's he that saith, you tell me. Is everybody following me this morning? Not trying to be am I complicated?
No.
Is it simple enough for your understanding? Talk to me. So you tell me. Are you saved? Examine yourself. Do you have an obedient attitude? Jesus said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, wait a minute, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Ain't that what he said? He didn't say that loving me will make you keep the commandments. He said, if you love me, you'll keep them. There's a desire there for obedience. See, when you get saved, before you get saved, you don't have a desire to obey God. Because you're rebellious. You're dead in your trespasses and sin, and you're against God. But when He saves you, then something changes that you follow Him. Now, if you don't think I quoted that right, go back to John 14, and we'll see if we can't find it here, maybe. John 14, is everybody still okay with me?
Yeah.
Look in John chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's who loves him. Obedience and love toward the Lord, wanting to do for him. Is everybody still okay? I'm not saying you do that to get saved. I'm telling you that that's a good evidence that you are saved. When you delight to do the will of God. When you delight to do what the Word of God says. When you delight in your heart to live like you're supposed to live. It's good evidence that you're saved. But yet there's people that don't change. There's people that have no evidence. There's people that say they're saved. He that saith, I know him, but don't do them things. The Bible says it's a liar. Now, I don't know what Either you're examining yourself or you're wondering if I'm preaching a new gospel. I'm not preaching a new gospel. I'm not preaching a worse gospel. I'm preaching something that's true this morning. And there's too many church members going to go to hell sitting in a church pew because they've been told they're saved and they're lost going to hell as they sit there with the Bible in their lap and they don't know Christ. Huh? That's the truth of the matter. Huh? Because they think everything's okay when everything ain't okay because you're the same person you was.
Yeah, right.
And if you're the same person you was, you're lost.
Right.
That's just as simple as I know to make it. Now the second thing we will look at, it says here in 1 John 2, is everybody still with me? Verse 6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him." You tell me, he that saith, he abideth him ought also to walk even as he walked. Can I tell you another evidence of being saved is that you seek the life of Jesus Christ. You seek to live the life of Jesus Christ. Do you seek that life of honesty and purity? I believe you'll read there in 1 John that he himself is pure. Huh? How about 1 John 3? Over here in verse 3, "And every man that hath his hope in himself, in him purifieth himself even as he is pure." Do you try to be pure? Do you set out to live the life of Christ? Everybody's studying about this, ain't they? Huh? See, what we're used to hearing is if you just come and say a prayer, well yeah, everybody come and say a prayer, that's wonderful.
Right.
What kind of prayer did you pray? Huh? Well, so-and-so prayed for me. I always laugh. Me and Cheryl laugh. And if you're a Pentecostal or something, that's okay. I'm not making fun, but I reckon I am. But we're about the feller come. The feller come down, kneel down, and I hear all come all the church around him to pray. One tell him hold on, another tell him turn loose. You know, one tell him give up, the other say give in. He's so confused, he don't know what to do. You know, one tell him bless him, Lord. One tell him get the devil out. One tell him get the Lord in. I mean, you never know. I don't know what you pray. It's not in prayer. I want you to understand, listen, you're going to have to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him save you. But when He saves you, here's the thing. When He saves you, there is a difference. He changes your vocabulary. He changes your mindset. He changes your wants. Huh? Are you listening to me? He changes your actions toward others. He, the life of Christ is one of complete honesty, complete devotion, complete submission. Huh? That we submit to the authority. Christ, come listen to me this morning, because I'm afraid you're missing this. Christ came and put on a robe of flesh. Yes or no?
Yes.
And He put on a robe of flesh to show us the Father.
Yes.
Correct? And He lived a sinless life fully, completely.
Right.
Right? And He showed us the relationship of Himself and the Father.
Yes.
Is that not true?
Yes.
He showed us a perfect relationship. Correct? And when Christ comes in us, we have Christ in us, hope of glory. And that relationship then can be the same. And Jesus said that His will was to do the will of the Father. Obedient. His will was to do the will of the Father. If Christ is in you, your will want to do the will of the Father. It don't mean you'll be able to do it because you're still flesh and you can't do nothing without the Lord, but there'll be a will to do the will of the Father.
That's right. Amen.
That help you any? That simplify things?
Yeah.
All right? Are you still with me now?
Yeah.
And then it says that we abide in him. We ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Christ walked for others. His life is for others. I don't know that there's much evidence of a Christian if you're selfish. I don't know there's much evidence of a Christian if you're self-centered. I don't know there's much evidence of a Christian if you're only worried about you and your wants and your feelings. I don't think there's no evidence there. You can't go with that. Now, it ain't doing good. There's people that give to charity, give millions of dollars to charity, and they're as lost as a ball in high weeds. But can I tell you, when we get saved, there's something that comes in to live the life of Christ. This life ain't the same old life. That's why you come to Christ. You come to Christ because the old life's no good. The old way's no good. The old way's evil. But the new life is life, eternal life, and joy and peace and everything that God gives. And there ought to be some evidence that that is in you when Christ comes in. And people are missing it. Huh? It's not in a feeling, but thank God there are feelings there. But there's some things that come out. Are we still okay? How about we drop one down? Verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shines. Listen to me. What is the old commandment? Well, the old commandment, Jesus told me, have you heard that everything hinges on this, that you ought to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy might? Huh? And thy neighbor as thyself? And then he told the disciples, he said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. He didn't do away with the old one. He just upped the ante on the new. We okay? That's what he's saying there. Now let's look in verse 9. He that saith he is in the light, you tell me. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that saith, you tell me, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. How about chapter 3, verse 14? We know. How can it? We know. And hereby we do know. Verse 3, chapter 2. Verse 13, chapter 5. And that we may know that we have eternal life. And it says here, 1 John 4, 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren.
Amen.
He that loveth not his brother abideth in death.
Yep.
Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Well, we better just stop at three evidences. All right. Scan machine might go down here. Huh? Back on that love from last year. Huh? Back on that love from last year. And the evidence is that you love the brother.
What's it?
You love the brother. You love the brother in word or in deed and truth? The Bible says love not in word, but in deed and in truth. And you say, well, that sounds like works. No, no. That ain't works we're not talking about. To get saved, we're talking about when you get saved, this is what comes out of you. Do you love one another? Do you love one another this morning? Do you? Do you love in word or do you love in deed and truth? Huh? Bible says, love not in tongue. In word and tongue. Don't love that way. That ain't what I'm talking about. Jesus said, that ain't the way I'm telling you. You say, well, Jesus didn't write this, sure he wrote it. John just held the pen. Huh? Are we still okay? Huh? Love one another. You tell me. Says you're in the light if you love one another. It don't mean you're not going to get hurt. It don't mean that you're going to not get missed. Alright? Not going to mean that, but it don't last. It don't last. If there's things that last with you and the brethren, you might want to look and see. Are you listening to me? You might just want to look and see if there's anything really there. If you hate and hold a grudge for years, you might want to go back and put a question mark there to do some figuring out. Are you saved this morning? You tell me. Just on them three things. Do you have an obedient attitude? Are you seeking to live the life of Christ? Do you love the brethren? Them three things there is a plenty. Yeah. Huh?
Right.
You tell me.
Yeah.
You tell me. Are you saved? You tell me. Are you the same as that you was? You tell me. Have you changed? You tell me. No, has God changed you? You tell me.
Right.
For reform is not salvation.
Right.
Regeneration is salvation. You changing yourself ain't enough.
Right.
Huh? See, obedience, going through the motions ain't enough. We've told you 100 times about the little boy that's over standing in a corner. And he was over here sitting, doing messing around. His daddy said, you get up and go over there and stand in the corner. He said, I'll go over there, but I'm still going to be sitting over there in my mind. See, that's how we're obedient. We'll run to the corner because we're told to, but our heart's not obedient. And that means we're not obedient. Huh? See, we live in a day, especially in a church where we preach all the time and teach all the time. We know the right things to say. We know the places we are to go and where not to go. We're taught a little bit of morality, taught a little bit of right things. You do this, do that. But it does not mean it's in our heart. It does not mean that. It does not mean that we believe it. Huh? When I was at home, I obeyed my father. I obeyed daddy. I never questioned daddy because I was told not to. You don't question me. Well, I never questioned him then. He was right. I was wrong. It didn't matter. Years ago, I told you all about over at Test Station Mines, coal mines over at the Royal Mines over at the, under the bridge, New River Bridge. I was over and the boss had a sign above the desk, and it said, rule number one to work here, rules to work here. Rule number one, the boss is always right. Rule number two, when the boss is wrong, refer to rule number one. And I've never forgot that. All right? That's the way, and that's the way a lot of people are obedient. It don't matter. We just go ahead and do, but we don't want to do it. See, where's our Christian attitude at? Where's our Christian walk at? Where's our Christian talk at? See, we live lives different at the church than we do at home. We live lives different on the job than we do at home. We live lives different at schoolhouse than we do at home. We live lives different because we're just conforming to the rules. There's no desire for obedience. But one of the evidences of being saved is there's a desire for the obedience. One of the evidences of being saved is that we seek to walk as Christ walked because we're following Him. One of the evidence of being saved is that we love the brethren. Good. And not just in word, but in deed and in truth. So you tell me, what did you find out this morning? You say? You tell me. Yeah. You tell me. Are you saved? See, you thought I was going to ask you, did you go pray a prayer somewhere? You thought I was going to say, did you walk down an aisle somewhere and kneel down? Huh? Let me tell you something. Dennis has done this as well, preaching out in Saturday Road. But y'all remember Bill Bennett used to sit there behind Teddy. Yeah. Bill Bennett used to come drunk as a skunk to church. He'd come to every revival. Bill's come and he tied his horse. He rode a horse everywhere. He tied a horse to the banister on the outside. And he'd come to church. And when it came time for invitation, Bill hit the altar. Sometimes he's coming to pray. Sometimes he's coming to pick a fight. He just never did know. I've had him, I prayed with him, and then he said, I'm going to squash you like a bug. I mean, you never knew how it was going to be. All right? Now, he had a godly mama. Godly mama. Joanne was a godly lady. I believe Joanne was a saved woman. Didn't save Bill. Bill come to every service, every revival, knew every preacher, rode that horse, huh? But he never got saved until in my daddy's living room, he bowed down his face to God and called on God to save him, and Bill quit drinking. Bill got saved, huh? Think about it. But that ain't what saved him, was going to my daddy's living room. Listen, there was a change in Bill. There was a change. If anybody knew Bill, there was a change in Bill. Now, did he have problems? Everybody's got problems. Everybody's got issues. But there's a difference. Where's the difference at in you? Where's the difference in you this morning? See, what I'm afraid of this morning is... Now, don't take me wrong. I'm not being mean because this don't speak to everybody. But a lot of times we teach and spend a lot of time trying to make sheep out of goats. And we wonder why the church can't move on is because there's a lot of goats in the congregation. See, I'm persuaded that they's lost here every time we meet. I'm persuaded that they's lost people. Now, Julie ain't the first church member that's been saved here.
That's right.
Right? There's been many. There's been many. I don't want you to be deceived thinking because you're a church member, you're okay. I don't want you to be deceived because you've been baptized that you're okay. I don't want you to be deceived because you had Christian parents to believe you're okay. I don't want you to be deceived and thinking because you go to church or carry your Bible or you've been coming for a while. I don't want you to be deceived and think that's what saved you. What saves you is you repenting of sin and self and placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for what He done on Calvary, understanding that you're lost and cannot save yourself, and you've placed all your faith on Him. And when He saves you, then He gives you something on the inside. For He moves in. Huh? He moves in and gives you an obedient heart that you delight to do His will. That you seek to live the life that He's laid out for you in His Word. And that you love the brethren. For that's how they knew they had been with Jesus. Because they had love for the brethren. I'm asking you. You tell me. Are you saved? Are you saved? See, if there's no desire for the Word of God, if there's no desire for the fellowship of God's people, if there's no desire for the house of God and the things that goes on in the house of God, if there's no desire to do your best not to sin, even though you may fail, but there's a desire, oh man, I shouldn't do that. But when there's no thought to where you go, no thought to what you say, no thought to how you act, then you probably ought to look and see, because there's probably nothing there. I'm not talking about mistakes. I'm not talking, anybody can get sideways. Huh? Anybody can get sideways. Anybody that don't think you get sideways that doesn't already messed up. Huh? Everybody can get sideways. Alright? But we don't have to. I'm asking you this morning, you tell me. You say, are you truly saved? Have you been born again? Huh? Have you passed from death unto life? Huh? Do you live in sin and don't bother you? Think about that. Living when you know it's wrong. And you live like it, but there's no remorse, there's no thought of right or wrong. It's just, well, it's what I did. It's what I did. You probably ought to put a question mark there and do some examination. For let that man examine himself and see whether or not he be in the faith. Listen, I'm not trying to make nobody doubt, but I want you to know, for the Bible says, it says that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the record that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. I want you to know this morning. If you don't know nothing else, you need to know that you have eternal life. Huh? Do you know that this morning? Do you know that? Carol, go to piano. Clark, get us a song, Just As I Am, without one plea. And I'm going to ask you this morning, if you know that you have eternal life, because you've placed all your faith, you've repented of sin and self, and turned your life to Christ, and laid everything you have on Christ, and you're trusting Him and Him alone, if you've done that, that's wonderful. Now there ought to be some evidence. There ought to be some evidence. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved? Let's stand. If you're not saved, won't you come now? Let's sing, Clark.